All right, we are here. And now it's time to ask your questions, to write this workshop, so to speak, with us. So where do we begin?
So I have received this via email from Valerie. I would like to know if it is possible to help someone who has a reservoir of unexpressed emotions causing physical symptoms, i.e. clinical depression, to release the emotions. Can we work as a magician remotely to help lift and clear the density of the emotional content to manageable levels so that wellness can flow? When dealing with loved ones who are suffering and who do not have the emotional intelligence to work with emotions, I want to handle my emotions on how I feel about this kind of situation, and I want to support the loved ones by giving my emotional processing skills to help them in the more real to express and lift their emotions so that suffering can end. Life can flow in harmony. Is it possible with this kind of work we are learning today?
All right. So, Valerie, that's a very good question, and probably just about everybody has asked that in one way or another. The thing is that everyone comes into the material plane on their own unique soul path, as you know. And so the traumas, the shocks, the situations that they encounter, they must learn how somehow to deal with it. That gives them feedback on themselves, just as what you experience gives you feedback as to who you are, how you respond, what you do, how you manifest your life. When you see a family member, a beloved friend, even a pet that you adore, all suffering, just in so much pain and trauma, of course your heart naturally reaches out. You want to help them. You want to do something for them. You hate to see them suffer. You know, it's like the proverbial, you know, parent I'll do anything for my child. I'll take total care of my child. I just don't want to see them suffer. I don't want them to go through all the horrible stuff that I went through. I want to save them from so much pain. The thing is, of course, you can't do that. And if this were not a free will universe, there probably would be a system set up to do that, you know, and you just plug in something, all right, push a button, something, and could really clear or whatever. It'd be part of the collective. It'd be part of the collective shifting together. That level of work, working with the collective, doesn't work so well on planet Earth, except in very small groups. Now, if you're in a family and a family member is suffering, the first thing to do with in your mind, dealing with a family member or someone that you love who is suffering, who does not have any interest, you might say, in emotional processing, who is not, you know, overtly, obviously, on their spiritual path, not willing to take responsibility, particularly for their emotions, having a tremendous years of repression of emotions, stuffing emotions, not dealing with emotions behind them, so that the emotions have built up and kind of burdened them down and loaded them down. When you have that, which is a place that the majority of people, over 30 are in on the planet, is that they need to be able to release their emotions. Depression, for example, depression is anger, is an anger just turned inward into kind of self-loathing, and it goes deeper and darker, and then it goes down and hooks into shame and so on. And then life just becomes totally bleak for the person. So depression is a suppression of anger. It's so stuck in there, so toxic, that it would take probably if, for example, if you were a very conscious person, you were very dedicated to clearing your emotion and you were depressed and you knew, okay, I have to deal with my physical stuff, but I also have to deal with my emotional stuff. What you would do with depression, for example, would be to over and over and over and over do anger releases, getting it up, because depression essentially is a freeze response to anger. Okay, I'm just going to hold the anger down so hard that I won't be at risk to feeling any anger. There we go. I'm saved from the anger. I've got it pushed down really hard. Of course, anger is in the same category as passion, energy, motivation, will, right? So when you push it down and ignore it and shut down, then you don't have any motivation. You have no juice. Juice is gone. So for someone like that, they would need to do all sorts of anger releases over and over and over and over. What can you do remotely for a person who's so backed up? We would say that the best that we sense that you can do here, because they're obviously not going to have the courage, the willingness, they're not going to be able to accept their emotions, because they've been unaccepting them for so long. They're not probably, if they have depression and they are taking some pharmaceutical medicine for depression, they've probably been taught it's in your head, it's something's wrong with your brain, it's a mental problem. And they may not even connect it to emotions at all. And of course, when you stuff your emotions down and into your body, it gets it blocks your power, which is your third chakra, and it messes up your gut. Your gut biome, your digestion, your all the processes in your body get kind of distorted and shut down too. So yes, there's a lot to do emotionally there, but there's a lot to do physically as well. The physical results of emotional stuffing. And the reason we're bringing that up is because in your meditation, we would recommend that you could somehow or another, if they're at all open to suggestion for dietary changes, that you can help them there. If they're not open to anything at all, then what we would recommend is to bring along your higher self, you and your higher self, get with that person and their higher self, and the four of you have a tete-a-tete. You four of you have a discussion, and you see if being able to heal would work within that person's soul path, and if so, will the higher self be willing to bring to that person what is needed for healing? And you basically negotiate with that, and then you ask for that. And if the higher self says okay, then you've done what you can do on the inner. Okay, if you're totally not listened to on the outer, which is the case with a lot of spiritual people whose parents were not ever informed about spiritual path stuff. The most basic thing you can do is release any emotions you have about them. Okay? In other words, this person, this may be your mother or whoever it is in your family. Let's say it's your mother who is suffering the depression and so on, and you're just feeling really sad. You really want to help and so on. Well, then you need to deal with your emotion about that. Okay, so as part of you is angry that she's not taking care of it, that she's not willing to learn, she's not willing to care and value herself enough to learn and to do it. Anger at the establishment and all the BS she's been led into about how this little pill should do it, and and so on, or that you're stuck with this depression the rest of your life, or blah, blah, blah. And all the kind of belief systems of the collective that she's fallen into get angry. Go in meditation and tell her, beat her up and forgive her, you know, because what you have to do is clear your side of that too. If you have a fear that she's going to die and suffer and die, and that somehow or another you're going to feel that it's your fault that you weren't able to do anything about it, okay, well, there's guilt. There's more anger there, okay? Maybe there's fear and anxiety that you would fail. So you need to process your stuff around that, okay, so that you are able to lovingly, caringly give her her option, her spiritual path option, because these are her choices, and her choices are not your choices. So therefore, just as she probably would look at her child and say, I wouldn't do it that way. You should do it my way. She may be, you know, feeling if you come back with, okay, look, you can do this and you can do that for it. It's like, well, what do you know? You know, you're the child. I'm the parent. I'm the one who's supposed to know stuff. And I've got it handled. I'm going to the doctor. I'm getting my pill. So you may just have to get clear on that. Do what you can, but if you can't do anything, if every attempt to share information or make any suggestions are repelled or pushed away or ignored or denied, then stop. Keep yourself free. Don't keep yourself bonded into a relationship that is for you is on a negative vibratory level. And that doesn't mean turning your back on her, doesn't mean walking away from the family or anything. No, it just means that you're giving her her space to do her soul dance, and you're going to love her regardless of what decision she makes. And that's essentially what we would suggest is probably the best and most freeing approach for you in doing that, because the key here is that you are the conscious, spiritual, evolving person. Your path has to do with your experiencing and feeling and radiating more love and compassion. And so that's what you do. You can radiate love and compassion. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to fix anything. Your job is to love. That's it. Right? So do what you can, and if it's rebuffed, then stop and just love. Accept. Love. Okay, that's it. That was the choice. And she made the choice not only to do that, but she made the choice to be born at a certain time in which all women had certain limitations, and women did not get on spiritual paths and process their emotions at that time. So that even the timing in which you come onto the planet is very important, and you come at a time when the great shift is happening, when the great consciousness shift and change is happening, and you're participating in it. But your participation must be first and foremost with yourself, and then love and compassion for everyone else who's suffering, and really being tender and caring and loving with her, even though you're pissed that she refuses to acknowledge your wisdom. That's just not, she doesn't see that as her job. That's you being able to accept wherever she's at is part of your job, okay? So thank you for that question.
Hello, Galexis.
Hello.
I have a two-part question for you, and it's kind of about the process. I've gone through a lot of very big changes this year. And I feel like, you know, if you spend your whole life stuffing your emotions, then I sometimes I just feel overwhelmed to clear all this stuff out. It seems like it would take me another whole lifetime to focus on and bring all these things up and experience them and clear them out again. And it makes me judge myself, like I haven't done enough, or I'm not doing it often enough, I'm not spending enough time every day. But if I spend 40 minutes or an hour one day, I feel like I might have cleared out 0.1% of stuff. And so I have this practical question about, is there some kind of a way to power this up so that I don't have to use every minute of the rest of my life clearing out all the stuff I built up so far?
Ah, yes. Well, we understand that entirely. The channel went through that as well. She spent years where it's like every day there was something. Oh, my gosh, I have to process something. Now, what's interesting here, though, is that, and what is the key, you might say, is that you're seeing it as your life's task, and you feel under pressure to do it.
Yes.
This is your slave driver. This is not your higher self. This is not your spiritual self. This is not God. God is all that is. This is slave driver. Because you've gotten your slave driver in on your spiritual, psychological work, okay? You can't let the slave driver in everywhere. Because you think, okay, this is good stuff, spiritual work, I need to do this. The slave driver will add work for you. They'll stack it up to where it becomes impossibly high pile of crap to do, okay? And so what we want to do is make this easier on you, which is what you would really like to do too. All right, so first of all, you've got to get rid of the slave driver, which means there's no pressure whatsoever for you to process or do anything. Okay, do you feel guilty? Yeah. So that's how the slave driver gets you in and making you feel, oh gosh, I'm behind, I have to do more, I've got more, and oh, there's so much to do, I've got to go into and clear my past. Really, you don't have to clear your past anymore. And the reason we're saying that is that even though it works very well in certain circumstances, we would say that the areas of your past that need more processing are generally the high points of trauma, where you went into trauma shock. And that may be about, if you really distill it down to the ones that impacted your body deeply, you'll find that maybe there's only like between 3 and 5 things in your past. And we would say, maybe you might want to focus on that. What we would suggest absolutely is that, as what we've been talking about today, you've got unconditional divine love, what you're aiming for up here at the top. And you've got this feeling totally inadequate, this whole shame, failure, separation, isolation from the divine down at the bottom. All of this in between is where you have the choice whether to move up or to move down, whether to make your emotions, your fear and your anger more expansive and more potentially empowering, or whether you use them to shut yourself down, to judge, to put things in boxes, to limit and stuff. Okay? So what the slave driver's gotten you into doing is thinking that you've got to solve all your emotional problems.
Yes.
Okay. Problem solving never, ever ends. And this is what you've discovered. It becomes like, okay, I've got to figure out this problem, I've got to resolve this problem. Oh, but then there's that problem. Okay, I've got to resolve that problem. I've got to work on that problem. I haven't really finished this problem, but then there's this problem. Oh, this one's even worse. Oh, I've got to move my attention over here now. I've got to work on this one. Really got to figure this one out. Oh, but this one's really acting up again. Oh, I've got to. When you're in problem-solving mode, you're like spinning plates. You never can get it all. You can never get the overview. So here's what we would suggest. That at the beginning of your day, do a little quick meditation, 5 minutes, something. Connect with your higher self. Connect with your guides. ground yourself, light from above all the way down, ground from the bottom all the way up. Basically do what we talked about in Expanding Your Self-Image seminar, okay, and where you expand your auric field, you're 20 feet tall, et cetera, chakras on, whatever. Just kind of put yourself on for the day, okay? And then you practice the day, no matter what happens, you practice thinking of, okay, how do I love more? In this, there's this emotional crisis, I'm feeling frustrated, feeling angry, I'm feeling scared, whatever, okay, I'll use the techniques quickly that Galexis showed me. Okay, but now, how can I show myself love here? How can I radiate love here? Okay, now what that tends to do is to bring you back to the present, because the slave driver wants you to clean up your past. And frankly, in all the years we've talked with thousands of people in private sessions, and frankly, we've only seen one person, and that was just this past week, found only one person whose past is totally clear. Now, some of the people we talk to are awesome magicians, phenomenal reality creators, conscious, powerful, free, amazing, amazing beings. Really, some of the most highly evolved beings around. Okay? But most everybody still has a bunch of hooks into the past, but those hooks in the past show up in the responses in the present. So you don't have to go to the past to deal with anything. It'll show up in the present. It'll show up. It'll come your way. So wait for it to come your way. Meanwhile, see how much love and joy and fun you can have. And stop feeling guilty. All right? Because the slave driver wants you to feel guilty. And the slave driver motivates also by fear. And the slave driver basically says, if you don't do all this spiritual work, if you don't process all these emotions, you're going to be horrible. Your life's going to be horrible, whatever it is. What is the scenario that they're threatening you with? Go look at it. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty bad scenario. Okay, I can see that. All right. And you're looking your fear in the face, and you're saying to the slave driver, nope, I'm still not going to do it. I'm gonna live my life with fun and zest so that I don't end up there. And thank you very much, slave driver, for pointing this out over and over and over again. But you're fired. Okay? So that's what we would suggest. What this does, it simplifies things down tremendously. You'll never catch up if you get hooked with a slave driver. That's its job, is to always keep you behind, always keep it hanging over you, and always dangling the carrot in front of you that you can never reach. Okay? So recognize the not enoughness comes from the slave driver. It's young adult stuff on the dark side. Okay, that's the slave driver. And it twists your motivations to where you think you should or ought to do stuff rather than do stuff because it feels right at the moment. So get back in the present, stay in the present, keep the slave driver at bay, be okay with doing nothing. Take days off. Don't process a damn thing. But if something comes up, if somebody makes you angry, oh, okay. And then later on in the day, you sit down and you visualize them, tell them off, blow them up, forgive them. Okay. Then you've done plenty for a day. You see what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's no good overloading yourself. That's the old school. The old school is that you've got to work hard and long and detail everything and solve all your problems. And that simply is over. It doesn't work anymore. Now, what do you process now? You process what comes up in the moment, an anger or a fear or whatever. And if you get a hurt, then we've outlined what to do there. But what you do process now is that you process what you're feeling in the future. You are processing who you're becoming in the future. Don't let the slave driver snag you into continuously focusing on retrieving yet another piece of yourself from the past. If you still have pieces you need to retrieve from your past, you'll figure it out. Something in your present day will say, oh, yeah, I hereby choose. And you make a new choice, and that piece of the past can come and be healed. So now, we're not saying don't do any processing, don't do any psychological work, don't go to a local practitioner and have a soul retrieval or whatever. Do some of that. Explore some of that, but enjoy it. Find it intriguing. Find your emotions as kind of as an intriguing experiment. And you are the head of the experiment. And your team is the group supporting you in your experiment. Okay, so, today I'm feeling this feeling. I'm feeling this, and it's a chronic feeling. I tend to feel this every day. Okay, well, in that case, maybe you might want to really get clear what it is, forgive yourself, and go on. Okay, we've talked a little bit about chronic negative or limiting emotional stuff going on and what you can do there. So, for example, if you feel guilt, go fire the slave driver. If you feel fear about the future, go fire the slave driver. And insert into that space where the slave driver would be there being your, it's actually being a drill sergeant. Okay? Your slave driver is more like a drill sergeant. Okay? Don't orient around your slave driver. It doesn't know anything. It's just a part of you that was fashioned to in order to substitute for your motivation, which you think you should have a certain motivation. You know that's your slave driver. If you have a real motivation, that's yours. Okay? So you want to get back to your own motivation and get the slave driver out of there, but then you want to dream a future in which you're happy and you're free and you're prosperous and you're healthy and life is good and this is what you feel. Yeah, I feel more love. I feel more freedom. I feel zesty. I feel passionately enthusiastic about stuff. I feel motivated. Okay, plug into that. Okay?
Okay.
And that'll take care of the backlog. All right.
I just did have a second part to that.
Okay, let's hear the second part.
Well, you always hope when you're clearing stuff out that you'll kind of be done, like when you tackle an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been really sensitized lately to how people are reacting to me. And it doesn't make me feel hurt or collapse. It makes me enraged. And I've had to walk out of the room a couple of times with people because I was kind of like, and it might be the ego saying, you know, how dare you talk to me that way. Mm-hmm. But it feels like it's more authentic than that. That it's a part of my soul saying, I'm not going to be your scapegoat anymore. I'm not going to be persecuted. I'm furious at you for trying to do this, and I'm leaving now. But it seems to be getting worse instead of better in the last couple of weeks. Isn't it? Shouldn't it, you know, you process it a few times, and then it started to release its grip on me?
Well, you see, this is what we call an image crisis. See, people are projecting an image onto you that is not yours. And then they're reacting and responding and acting to you as if you are this person that they have created. That should piss anybody off.
That's exactly what it seems like.
Right, okay. To respond to that, you have to stand up to your boundaries. This is boundary work, okay? And it's not much work at all. It's just you knowing that this is your boundaries. Walking out the room is probably a way to get a break from it, but you do need to process that later because you're pissed. You need to, in your mind, bring whoever it is back in front of you, tell them off, beat them up, blow them up, and forgive them a few times. Okay, now you might think, well, shouldn't that take care of it then? Yes, it can take care of it with that person for a while, but the issue is not being taken care of, and the issue is, who are you now? When you change into a new, greater self, you'll find people picking at you, trying to get you to shrink back into being the person they want you to be, that perhaps you used to be, but you're not anymore, okay? This is a very common experience for people who are growing, people who are evolving in new levels, okay? So the way to deal with that is to understand that it's not your ego really responding. There's a part of you that feels rejected and might even feel hurt, and you might want to, like, check that out. There may be another part that has fear. Oh, if this person is not in my life and is not being supportive of me and to be myself, what's the negative impact of that? So you want to look at your fear, your anger, and your hurt and see what's there and process all of that. But the issue is, which means it keeps happening over and over, is because you haven't set your boundaries, you haven't set your new identity and your new image. And so for that, we would recommend doing some image expansion. Okay, and just really start claiming that. And then looking at your true motivation. What is your motivation? You've let the slave driver take care of a lot of that. But your motivation is not to be the good girl, patiently struggling to do all the spiritual work so that you can earn your place in heaven. You're not there. That's your slave driver speak, okay? So what you want to do is find out, well, who am I now? And what you do is you dream your future self, and then you claim it for yourself now. And so your boundaries are determined by what are the principles by which you live your life. Like a principle would be love. Okay, what is the most loving thing for me to do with this person? I walk away, but I haven't done anything really with the person. I've just walked away to get the break and to kind of think through stuff and feel stuff. Okay, now that I've processed everything, okay, and I figure out who I am, now what do I do with this person? Now, most people are trained that, okay, if they're going to be like that, and I am going to put me through all of this and going to criticize me and put me through all this compression and pressure and blah, 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 blah. Well, they're not in my life anymore. Goodbye. It's either you support me or I'm leaving forever. So even though you maybe walked out of the room or you threatened to walk out of the room, which created a either or kind of scenario, maybe you did that, But what we're talking about is long term. Is that person, as far as you're concerned, is that person someone that, in a positive context, you would prefer to stay in your life? And if so, what could you do in talking to that person? Maybe you say, "Look, I'd really like to talk with you. This is how I've been feeling about our interchange. I feel like you're really projecting on me somebody I'm not. And who do you really think I am? I want to hear what you're saying. Well, I want to hear what your feedback. What is it about me that's upsetting you?" Now, it's really hard for people to hear this. And most people never ask. They just walk away. But you see, by walking away and never asking, maybe it might be some shame there, that you're afraid they're going to see your shame. But if you ask them, "Well, what is it you don't like about me?" oh gosh, I'm opening myself to be wounded and destroyed and, no. When you're in a powerful state of being, asking a person that, if you can step outside your ego, you can say, okay, oh, all right, I hear you. And why does that upset you? Oh, I see. Okay, I understand. I can see where you're coming from. And I understand. However, this is how I feel about this, and this is where I feel I'm going. So tell me what you think about what I'm just about to say. This is what I'm seeing myself being and doing. Now, how many people do that? Oh, close to zero. Why? Because they don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to be hurt. They'd rather be angry and walk away and not have anything to do with the person. But we are putting a challenge forth to you to perhaps see if you could try to do that with one of them, one of these people that are doing that. And if not, see, some people are like, oh, I want to talk with you, and just like, oh my God, oh no, and they'll run. Okay, so that's why so few of these situations really happen. But they can, and the ones that do make both of you much more profoundly happy and radiant and safe and satisfied. Okay, so we suggest that you give it a shot, and if they really lay into you and say all sorts of nasty stuff about you, you can say, oh, you know, that really hurts. I don't really think I deserve that. I mean, I don't deserve to be treated or seen that way. I'm really here. I have some integrity to my path. I can see how it upsets you, and at the same time, you don't use the word but, and at the same time, I feel that I need to be more loving towards myself. Now, this might take a whole seminar to explain anyway. So we're not going to go there, but we would just throwing the idea out to you to look at these relationships, you know, just in a second, take a second look and see what maybe if you can see them from their point of view, how they feel limited by you and how that's upsetting them. You might be able to learn something and go, oh, okay. And you might be able to open up a lot more of your love and your radiance. Okay. Now, and if not, if there's no receptivity there, if there's no possibility there, okay, but you've tried. Okay, you gave it a little bit of a try. You at least did some thinking and feeling about it, or expressing about it. Yeah, you did some stuff. And so it's okay. And so if they're not going to respond to you, if they're going to run away, if they are just going to stay in hostility mode or whatever it is, then okay, I guess then that tells me that I'm going to go on without them. But give it a little bit of something. Do a little process. Do something first before you just give up on them. You see?
Yeah, that'll take a little bit of courage.
A little bit. It's a lot of courage. But think about an early on when you realized that you were emotionally messed up over something at some point, where you had a tangled complex pattern of emotional stuff, and you, okay, I guess I need to go plug in, I need to go and figure this out. It took courage to do that too.
Yes.
So this could be a little bit more courage. Yeah, it's scarier even. It's scarier, but you know, you've grown so much, so why not? And we're saying this for everyone too. This is good feedback for everybody. Think about this when you have a relationship that seems to be going south, that maybe you might want to think about, okay, I'm going to put aside my fear and terror of being shamed and rejected and hurt, and so I'm going to put it aside for a while and know that they may try to do that, but I'm not going to take it personally because they're obviously not seeing who I am. So I'm going, but I'm going to see if I can get some feedback from them, and I'm going to see if I can hold my resonance as the light being that I am, filled with love, and not just fall for whatever lie that somebody has about me and take it all personally and get twisted by it. Because you don't want your ego involved in it, but that's, see, your ego did get involved with you saying, oh, I'm going to go out the door. However, it doesn't mean that's the end all of the situation. It doesn't mean that the ego has now completely spoiled it. The ego came in there to try to save your ass. That's what it did. It said, okay, this is getting too hot. This is getting too dangerous. This is getting too crazy. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. We got to run away. So it was a flight. You see what we're saying? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, well, thank you for that question.
Thank you very much.
And one more.
Ooh, we have three more.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, then we're going to go over then a little bit. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, we'll go over a little bit. Okay.
So Louis says, I often find myself in a mixture of fear, anger, and impotence. When there, I just feel impotence and rage. Please suggest how to work it.
Well, impotence comes with shame. So we would recommend that you listen to our Love and Healing evening about shame. But fear and anger are, there's a sense of bewilderment that will come with that. And the bewilderment is, what can I do? I feel powerless. And so we would suggest when you have that, as soon as you can kind of get yourself, your mind straightened out about it, then we would suggest that you do anger releases. Anger, you know, tell them off, blow them up, beat them up, you know, et cetera, forgive. Or if you can't feel like forgiving, then you just keep doing tell them off, beat them up, blow them up, tell them off, beat them up, blow them up, until you can get to the place where you can forgive them and just kind of break the energy between you and them. Again, what you're experiencing is been contaminated by the ego and by the slave driver. And your motivation is not clear. Who you see yourself to be is not clear. And so you need to get the anger and you need to shift the fear. And once you do some of that, then what we would suggest is that we're going to do a just touch base a little bit in the meditation with shame. And what we're going to do is you're going to go and touch the shame, and then we're going to all lift up from there. We're going to lift you up. But you want to know what's the bottom line. You can't go down below that. You can't go beneath shame. That's the end. That's the negative end. And the impotence is about shame. It's a sense of complete powerlessness, complete failure. And it's a place of overwhelm that comes from your inner child. So after you do a little fear, a little anger, then go and comfort your inner child. Okay? And when you comfort your inner child, you just make the inner child's life wonderful and fabulous and so on. Then come back and look at the situation again. All right? And ask your higher self to help you out of the shame, threat of the shame, to help you out of the... because there's depression in there, there is anxiety in there, and it's all overwhelming. And when you heal the child, when you let the child be healed, it takes away the overwhelm, because that's the child's strategy, and puts you into a numb kind of spot. So if you feel any self-pity, let it go. If you feel any numbness, you feel, okay, I'm just going to go crawl in bed and pull the covers over me, and I'm just going to stay in here until until it passes, then you're in freeze. You don't want to stay there, okay? So what you want to do is to do some fight, which is anger releasing. You want to do some of the positive fight, that is, and you want to do shift your fear so that you can stop running away. And then you can come to center again. But be sure, do not let yourself go into numbness. Take the overwhelm off and realize, I'll just do one little piece. I'm not going to try and deal with the whole thing. Okay, I feel impotent, but I'll just deal with just one piece. I'll deal with one anger right now. Maybe you take a pen and a pad and you write down 20, 30 things. Okay, but just do one. And then in a little while, do another one. One, do an anger, then do a fear, and then and be sure and release ego and release self-pity and just kind of get yourself away from the overwhelm. And then you'll be able to have your wits about you and figure out what you can do. But don't project this into the future either, because if you do, then you're going to attract situations where you're going to have fear and anger and impotence again. And you don't want to keep, you know, encouraging that. You want to have a different future. So always imagining your positive future will help you align and to the best vibration now so you can make a good decision. Okay? Thank you.
So one of those who is watching says, I seem to be so stuck around my anger with my sister. I feel a victim to her right now. I do anger meditations, but nothing seems to shift. Doing anger meditation and then not feeling like a shift happens make me then doubt my level of success with my own personal spirituality.
Okay, well, there's a lot of self-judgment in that one. Okay. You do have to you have to stop judging emotions. If you feel anger and so on, and you release it, and then you feel anger again, well, stop judging that. You're not a failure. You didn't do it wrong. You just didn't, you know, sometimes, you know, especially with family members, there's a huge cachet, a huge collection, a huge pile of angers layered with fears and layers with hurts and so on. Just layered for decades. Okay? So you can't just kind of do a few anger releases and expect that the whole relationship with your sister will be healed when you've got a ton of backlog. Okay? So what you want to do is in your anger releases, you've got to come to when we talked about the anger release pattern, and we suggest you might want to do this anger release in the meditation with us, that you come to that place where you decide that the slate is clear, you're going to start over again. When you do an anger release and you come to that place with your sister, very likely it's still going to be contaminated. There's still too much memory of what went down before. And there might even be a part of you, an inner aspect of you, that's unwilling to forgive her, really. Unwilling to begin again. She did too many dirty tricks, or she did this, or she did that. And by golly, there's a part of you that wants her to pay for that, that wants, you know, is righteous anger. It wants her to admit you're right, or wants it to be balanced. Wants her to become conscious and ask for forgiveness, to change her behavior, to whatever. There's a part that wants to control, and you're going to have to get that one gone, because that always pulls you back in and takes you through another cycle of anger. And it has nothing to do with you being a poor magician or a poor processor or inadequate in any way in your spirituality. What it does mean, though, is that you have another agenda in there. And in family members, there's generally several, okay? Because these are people who knew you before you became conscious, really conscious, because sometimes before you got on your spiritual path. And they have expectations of who you are and projections upon you, and they expect you to act the same way, and they have the same attitude as they had when you were 17 or 12 or whatever. And by golly, it's a box. It's like you're snagged into this whole family box, and you can't move very much in it. Now, understand this. If you could clear everybody in your family, your parents, your siblings, anybody else in your relatives that played an important role, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever, if you could clear all of them emotionally, then where would you be at? Who would you be? Okay? So in your imagination, go there and see who that would be. Who would you be if you were clear? Who would you be if you were free? And how would a person who is free, radiant with light, relate to these people who are living in the past boxes when you're not in the boxes anymore? And you're maybe sometimes just for their sake, as a gift to them, you will descend into the box temporarily. Give them a little love, and then you'll come back out of the box and be where you need to be. But overall, what you'll eventually learn is how to be who you are, free. Free to be you. This is important in your spiritual journey. We always talked about the four pinions. Is love, of course, is the major one. Love, freedom. Freedom to be yourself. Freedom to make your choices. Empowered. That is, empowered to choose and act on your own behalf. And to do it according to your principles. And if your principle is to do it lovingly, then do it lovingly. If your principle is to be creative, do it creatively. If your principle is to be trustworthy, then do it as a trustworthy person. Whatever your principle is, whatever is important to you, that are your guiding principles. And there's usually you have two, maybe three of those. Okay, so you want that's being empowered, acting on your own choices. Okay, and then the fourth one is, of course, trusting the divine plan, trusting your support team, trusting your universe, knowing that it's there for you and supportive for you. Clearing the family is the hardest thing to do because it's so tied up in your destiny. It's tied up in the whole themes that you want to work on in your whole lifetime, i.e. your issues. And look out your overriding lessons, your spiritual lessons that you always seem to come back and deal with. How does your sister trigger that spiritual lesson? How does your spiritual path work in the sense that your sister, how does she belong in your spiritual path? What does she do to get you more aware of who you are and where you're going and who you need to be? You know, she's providing a service to you. That's what all your family members do. That's why you choose them to be born into, that family to be born into, because every one of them is a player in your play, and they have a role for you. It's like the channel was born into a family. Her mother was a born-again, holy roller type of Christian, fundamentalist, you know, Bible first, you know, and everything. And otherwise, she was just an amazing, you know, she was an intellectual, she was intelligent, she had energy up the wazoo, but she wanted the channel to be this church lady, wanted the channel to be a total Bible person, and gave her all sorts of sin and guilt and you know, God's wrath and punishment and hell and damnation and so on. And so the channel would have probably been very, if she hadn't have been so severe, would probably been easygoing and would have ended up being a church lady. You know? But because it was so severe and so extreme outside of the channel's sense of who she was, that she broke with the church and she fought with her mother almost to the day that her mother died. And her mother didn't die till she was 95. So that was a lot. That was a long time of tension and stress and so on in their relationship. However, what did it do? It got the channel onto her spiritual path and finding her truth. So look at your family that way. So the emotions that you feel are generally there to help you become aware and orient yourself and know what you're doing and where you want to go. And your sister is doing a damn good job of that. Okay? So bless her, but really, you're not going to really clear her, and you're not going to change her attitude or opinion towards you or her behavior. What all you're going to do is to stop reacting so to her. You're going to find that your ego doesn't get involved anymore. Okay, so that's just what my sister does. She does this. She says this and that about me, and this is what she thinks. I know, you know, so that's just where she's at. And you won't take it personally anymore. Then you'll be free. And then you can take the benefits of what you've learned from her in that freedom and keep going into greater levels of spiritual freedom. All right. So thank you for that.
Okay, then. So here's the last one.
Okay.
Can stuck anger manifest anywhere in the body? Is there a message that the body is trying to convey if or when it does this? Thank you.
Oh, all right. Well, anger can stuff itself anywhere in the body. Everybody's got places in their physical body that are vulnerable and are a bit more weak than other places. Anger, generally the first place it hits the body is in the stomach and in the intestines. That's the first place, because generally when you get angry, there is a power loss somewhere and energy is bled out. And it's generally the solar plexus, because this is your power center, okay? So generally that's where it begins. Anger in the digestion can manifest as food allergies or allergies in general. It can manifest as a chronic stress continuously in the fight, flight, or freeze, however that applies to your digestion. If it's a freeze, constipation, you know, tiredness. If it has to do with fight, it could be, you know, lots of inflammation and there. If it has to do with flight, that would be basically hyperactive. That can be over-adrenalized. And so on. So you can find that can hit you in your body that way. Now, it doesn't have to just hit in your digestion. Sometimes your body will make adjustments and send it somewhere else. And you'll have it as headaches, or you'll have it as inflammation in your joints. You can have it, but, you know, anger generally shows up in a lot as inflammation. And there can be very virulent infections, especially and parasitic infections, and it also can really hit the adrenals really hard. And then of course your anger will blackmail your, you know, your motivation, because anger attracts the negative ego, and the slave driver. So if you get your negative ego in there, the negative ego is going to create a lot of anger situations so it can feed on them. So you don't want to feed your negative ego. So when you have lots and lots of anger, It can get into your body, but if you can release and free yourself from the ego, free yourself from the slave driver, forgive yourself, you can start releasing and doing anger releases. You can put the top 10 of your lifetime releases. Generally, there's parents and siblings and whatever. And you do a list of your top 10, okay? When you do a list of your top 10, you just go down the list, and you'll find that this will give you a lot of freedom. This will give you a lot of movement, a lot of clearing. And now you can start moving that anger, stuffed anger, out of all the places in your body where it is. Oh, it also can really mess up your hormones. So, and especially the sex hormones, it can mess up for women. It can mess up menstruation, menopause really badly. And for guys, it can mess up your prostate. It can make you have problems getting it up. So it's really deep in there. You can get it out, though, and it will move out. Just keep getting it out of your body, and you'll start seeing your body go, huh, what? I don't have to carry this anger anymore. Watch. Your ego may want to pull in more anger situations. And if you've always stuffed your anger, you're going to be under a tremendous amount of pressure from your slave driver and your negative ego and your subconscious mind, who wants everything consistent to where it has been, and to make you keep doing that. And you have to stop the pattern. But yeah, you can get the anger out of your body, and you'll see a lot of relief in symptomology. Okay? Thank you.